Mac Jones is ripped. Matt Patricia's calling plays. The Celtics are title favorites. And The Ringer has a new Boston show. I'm Brian Barrett, host of Off the Pike, the show covering all things Boston sports. I'll have shows multiple times a week covering your favorite teams and with your favorite Ringer and local guests. Plus, maybe Bill will stop by to rant about the Sox. Follow Off the Pike with me, Brian Barrett, now on Spotify.
This episode of The Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Because you are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to the Ringer NFL Show. My name is Danny Heifetz, and I am joined by Stephen Ruiz and Ben Solak. And today, we are doing the least watchable teams in the NFL this season. We're going to do a draft style. We're doing a snake draft. And we're going to be drafting what teams do you not want to watch in 2022? Stephen has the first pick. I'm going second.
Wait. Why are we doing this podcast? Because last week, we did most watchable teams.
We did the most watchable
teams. And we did a draft. What happened?
Solak is the preseason winner of the draft.
Yes.
So based on what?
Based on the teams I got there, Sweet Pea. I got the Bills, the Chiefs, and somebody else good.
I won't even pretend Solak won the draft. I'm not even going to pretend. When you got the two teams from that playoff game,
Ravens.
Solak won the draft.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure we, in the intro, did. If you haven't listened to that pod, make sure you should go hop on back and listen to that, John. Now Steven can go, whatever.
Well, the real reason that we did that pod was to do this one, because we really just wanted to talk about the least watchable teams.
How do you win this one? By getting the worst teams or getting the best teams?
Well, if you kind of consider it as like immunity from having to watch these teams, then yeah, whoever has the worst draft will do best draft.
Right? That's quite like that, yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. Steven, kick us off here. You get the first pick, every team in the NFL. Who is the team that you want to watch
the least in
2022?
Who do you think I'm saying?
The Carolina Panthers?
Oh, no.
I think they're interesting. I wanted you to pick your favorite team so badly.
Let's play a game. Can you name three Houston Texans receivers?
Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley.
You're
talking to a draft psycho and a fantasy guy. Exactly. Well, you know why I knew that? Would.
I also was looking at their depth chart because I was going to ask that question too.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. The roster is not interesting in any way. Like Stingley, I want to watch. He's the only player on this team that I want to watch.
Which is a sicko move. Like, he's a rookie cornerback. Like, let's be real. 95% of people, who cares about a rookie cornerback?
Right. So that's not going to get you any points. No one's going to watch for Stingley on the broadcast camera. But and Davis Mills is a problem for me because he's a boring quarterback. That's the thing about Davis Mills that people don't realize. They see him. He's tall. He's white.
Lennon.
He went to Stanford. They're like, this is like one of those project quarterbacks that you draft and he has a big arm. No, he's not. He doesn't have a big arm. He has like a okay arm. He throws a nice go ball every now and then, but go balls are like the go-to weapon for the quarterbacks that are, I don't know what to call them. What should I call them, Ben?
I don't know. I'm just wondering how closely we're going to brush into Joe Burrow criticism here.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
Because Joe Burrow does it because he has Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. That makes sense.
It's the idea that like the go ball, like, right? The go ball is like this 50-50 proposition of maybe getting an explosive play. And if like that's the best thing that you bring as a quarterback, it's like, all right, it's fine. And like doing it fast and choosing to do it like in a Ben Roethlisberger where you just like hit it right now is like good. Yeah. But there's way more meat on the bone.
Yeah. So people like look at like the deep perimeter throws and they're like, oh, those are like the big boy throws. And I disagree. Like Ben Roethlisberger led the league in perimeter go balls by like it double number two in the league because he just would get the snap and then he would just chuck it downfield because he was afraid to get hit and he didn't want to hold on to the ball. And that's like Davis Mills. Davis Mills is like a young, old Ben Roethlisberger where he just
young, old Roethlisberger. Well, young, I think it's funny that one. You're basically saying that people associate Davis Mills with the go ball because I would actually say when people think about Davis Mills, Nothing. No one thinks about Davis Mills, and no one ever has.
Right, yeah, they actually don't associate him with the go ball because they associate him with looking like Mike Glennon, and that's it.
Yeah, and having a huge neck. But that's my whole thing is use the neck. Stay in the pocket. You would think like a long neck would help you in the pocket, but with him, he doesn't use it. Use that neck.
So, like, would you also have taken the Texans first as the least watchable team? Because no. They were also number one on my list.
No, they were number two for me. I'm at number one. Yep.
So I thought about this a lot. Oh, I'm torn. For this exercise, I have two teams here. One makes me feel angrier, and the other I'm just more disgusted by, and I couldn't decide about watchable, because part of me thinks that maybe hatred is a good source for watching. I'm not sure. But I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears.
Hmm.
Because I think the only reason you would watch the Chicago Bears is to gather evidence if you were trying to prosecute them at The Hague for crimes against Justin Fields. And maybe this is not quite the exercise because, like, maybe if I'm feeling anger, that is watchable and that's content. But, like, they're literally a second-year quarterback, new coach, new coordinator, worst O-line, and wide receivers. I looked this up. None of the wide receivers he's playing with have above a 79 on Madden.
I love that. That's the barometer. It honestly kind of works where it's like none of the receivers that he's playing with matter in the national scope.
I mean, it's kind of like watching, you know, those videos where like a snake gets hold of an animal and you have to kind of watch like the animal try to rest out. But it's not like that iguana video where it escapes. It's like the snake just eats the thing. That's like the Bears video. It's 3 hours of Justin Fields trying to escape and it's not going to work. And like, I'd rather watch anything except that. Am I off here? Do you guys want to watch the Bears?
I think you're off just because Justin Fields is there. And like, even if he's bad, it's still going to be interesting to watch like him be bad and become a bust. So I disagree. And he's a fun player.
I get it. But there's definitely right. Like the way you primed it of like, is hatred a reason to watch? Like that makes sense to me in the sense that I probably will watch the Bears at some point this year. When I want to get mad about the fact that they're ruining Fields, as opposed to like the Texans, fair. Like the Texans, I just cannot conceive of a reason why I would like to watch the team. For the Bears, it's like, all right, it's week 12, like everything, there's no good 4 o'clock game. So, oh, the Bears are playing the Packers. Let's watch them get demolished and then tweet mean things about Ryan Pace. Like that's a good afternoon. Like that'll work. And so they get a little bit of a watchability boost for that reason.
But if you're a Bears fan, is there any reason to be excited for the team this year, because you can't even look forward. Like at least the Jets, if Zach Wilson weren't as hurt, it's like, okay, it's even if you're not making the playoffs, it's still about Zach Wilson's development. Is there any reason as a Bears fan you should be excited about 2022?
It still is about Fields' development. Like he can be better than he was last year, independent of the context. Like there were plays last year that were like well blocked up and like the route was actually accurate and he like missed the throw. Like there's like development to be had. To me, like there's not as much difference between the watching the Bears and watching the Jets in that way, where you're like watching for improvement. It just sucks as a Bears fan knowing they could have done more to help him. You're still like watching because you're interested to see if this rookie quarterback looks like anything that is a silver lining, a bright spot, anything to kind of like tether your hopes onto.
Okay, so Lek, you got back-to-back picks here.
Yes.
I feel like you're going to take the other team. I was between Chicago and
I don't know. We'll find out. So my number one seed was the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
Because a couple years ago, I would have been like, yeah, like I'd like to go watch Wentz be bad. Like that'll be fun. And now I just don't care anymore. I'm just over it. Right. Like Steven got into a debate with some person about Wentz the other day where it was like, he was like, yeah, he had a 27-7 touchdown interception season. Also his team did everything they could to get rid of him. They didn't even have a succession plan in place. And like by EPA, he was horrendous. Like everybody knows. And I kind of looked at it. I was like, yeah, like at this point, like, it's just not even like there's nothing there for me. Like even like having been a guy who rooted for Wentz as of 3 years ago, it doesn't stir up anything in me to watch him wear Washington. Like it's a division rival. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't care. And then I go and I look at the rest of the team and it's just like, all right, Terry's good. Like John Allen was fun a couple years ago, but now it's like boring. Like they haven't like, there's nothing new about the team. They drafted a first round receiver and a second round running back. And I'm still like their offensive weapons don't. There's nothing like your defense. It's Jack Del Rio. You think I want to watch Jack Del Rio coach a defense? Like it's Jack Del Rio. I hate Jack Del Rio. Number one, number two, they don't do anything interesting. Like I just, there's no team in the league about which I am more tepid than Washington from a purely football perspective. And then you like widen the scope to be like, yeah, Dan Snyder's dodging Congress. And you're like, all right, if they put that on the field, that would be more interesting, but they don't put that on the field on Sundays. It's just something you read about in the newspaper on Tuesdays. So Washington to me, is just eminently unwatchable.
You can't spell subpoena without subpar. Hit me, Steven.
Can you?
That's an R.
I agree with the Wentz take. It's like gone past the point where he's like fun bad, and now he just like can't hit like basic throws, and he's just hesitating in the pocket. And it's not fun. No one wants to see that. It's like a past his prime musician who like did a bunch of drugs when they were younger, still performing. It's like, come on, enough.
Yeah.
Here's my question. I think there's two things about Washington that are interesting to think about this season. The first is they had a preseason game this year where tickets were going for $1. Steven, you and I live in Washington, D.C. How much would you need to be paid? How much would you pay to not go to the game? Because I would certainly pay $1 to not go to a Washington game. How much would you pay to not attend? Like, you have to drive an hour to go see this team.
No, yeah. It's in the worst part of Maryland, too. Landover, Maryland. It's not even in D.C. Well, Kevin Clark tried to get me to go to this game.
The preseason like, game, right?
Yeah. Get a credential.
I think I would pay $50 to not go to a Washington
game. They were trying to pay me to go to the game, and I still did not go to the game. So there's your answer.
This is funny because when I did Locked On NFL Draft with Trevor Sikkema, we were covering the draft, we would do a thing every Friday where we would find like ESPN lists the ticket prices for like all these college games. They'd be like, yo, you could go to Kent State, Ball State for $3 right now. Like, this is incredible. And like that was a funny bit because it's ridiculous that it costs $3 to go to a game. Never would I have ever told you, even in the preseason, that would have been possible for an NFL team. That's just outside of the realm of reality. Lo and behold,
having
Dan
said
Snyder.
That, Solek, you mentioned being an Eagles fan. There are two games on this schedule that I actually think are like appointment television for Washington. The Eagles play Washington at home. The Eagles host Washington. Carson Wentz returning to Philly in Week 10 on Monday Night Football. And we were kind of robbed of Ben Simmons going back to Philadelphia and playing for the Nets.
True.
But like, can you explain how much, like what the temperature of Philadelphia fans booing Carson Wentz will be like when Wentz comes back to play them on Monday Night Football?
See, like that's the thing is like, this is my thing is I think that they will boo him. I think they won't like that he's there. I don't think he'll be booed any more than like Tom Brady was or Tony Romo was.
Oh, like, that's so disappointing.
I think they'll boo him. I think they'll be like, and like, you know, like he'll get sacked and they'll cut to the Eagles fans and they'll be cheering. But I don't think if this were like right after he left or if he was like actually good. Sure. But like, no, like it's you don't like it. The Eagles and Wentz broke up. And since then, the Eagles arrow has just massively pointed up. They've lost some weight. They found somebody new. They got a new job. It's great. And Wentz arrow has just been pointing down. Like it's, you know, then Eagles fans don't like to like. Eagles fans like to be like underdoggy a little bit more than like this, where it's just like, oh, this sad guy is here and we're going to boo him, obviously. Yeah, boo him.
But Eagles it's not fans be the same. Don't want to boo you. You know that you're not watchable. So who's your other team, Solek?
Yeah, it's rough. I think I'm taking the Panthers. Keep pounding, baby. I think the Panthers sound watchable in theory because the idea of a Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield quarterback carousel sounds hilarious. But then you actually have to watch the game, right? Where you're like, wow, like it's different to be like, I'm interested in how chaotic the Panthers get over the course of the next several weeks. And to say like, I would like to watch Sam Darnold inserted into a 6-16 game with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, dropping back on 3rd and 7 when I can't even name a single one of their offensive linemen. Like I like that. There's nothing that like, they do schematically, like I think DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, like that's not enough for me to really get interested. Like, all right, like, you know, like Phil Snow's got kind of a cool defense, I guess. Like they're big and they're fast and they run around. But like that only lasted for a few weeks last year. And then we were like, all right, the Panthers still suck. They're still terrible. And
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey. I think there's like ways that you talk yourselves into the Panthers being watchable. But when you really sit down and think about it, you're voluntarily choosing to watch one of Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold play for a bad team. And critically, for like a coaching staff that we simply know is not going to be there next year. Like there's no like, I wonder if they can change their future. Like, oh, what it's a comeback now. Like Matt Rhule is gone. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So watching is kind of like, all right, well, I'm just watching a slow march to death for a bunch of like mediocre members of this nucleus, like quarterback and head coach and whatever. To me, it's not interesting. So keep pounding is my second pick there.
Steven, you're a Panthers fan.
This is why draft performance is volatile. See, selected so well last week and he's doing terribly this week. The Panthers are not a bad team to watch. They have Robbie Anderson, who is very fast and very fun. They have DJ Moore, who's a very fun player. Christian McCaffrey's a fun player. Baker Mayfield is still, he still hasn't passed that point that Wentz has where it's still fun when he's bad.
Disagree.
And then on the defense, Brian Burns, Jeremy Chin's a fun player. JC Horn's here. Like, they're good players.
Steven, it's a fun team
to watch.
Everybody you just named but Baker Mayfield was on the team last year. How many Panthers games you willingly watched last year? You're a fan of the team.
Three.
That's not the rest of my case.
Live.
This
man, live.
Steven, you are so hard on everybody else's teams. And the second we're hard on your team, you're like, but Jeremy Chin is a good safety to watch. It's like, please. Right. Solak is dead right where he's like, it sounds cool to watch Baker Mayfield on a revenge tour. I think that Christian McCaffrey is obviously fun to watch, but the intriguing part is like, oh, what if Baker, you know, is lights a fire and just kind of goes like he had that last season in Oklahoma where he's interesting. But Solak's right in that. But once you get to like the second quarter of the first Panthers game you watch and you realize, oh, he's actually like not that good.
This isn't worth it.
Yeah. It's nothing.
I can't believe Steven tried to hit me with, here's a list of players that were on the team last year when I know for a fact he was avoiding Panthers games like the plague.
Okay, but that's besides the point. Anyway,
that's the entire point.
No, it isn't. Three games is a lot of games. I watched three games. I didn't watch three Texans games live last year.
Three games is a lot of games is the worst point you've ever made on any episode of this podcast.
That's fine.
For your favorite team. Objectively incorrect thing I've ever heard. Kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up with the promo code RINGERNFL to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I like the Rams odds to win the NFC West, personally. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code RINGERNFL. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus in select states, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required, bonuses issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt, restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New York. The Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure. With features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I have the next pick here. I think there's a teardrop, but I'm still going to take a team. Now, speaking of homer bias, I probably should take the New York Giants, but I'm just not going to. I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks because I just don't care about the Seahawks. I think they have DK Metcalf, who understandably DK Metcalf is such a fun player to watch. Tyler Lockett's cool. Tyler Lockett will not be cool the second Russell Wilson's gone. I feel like I'll be watching like a haunted football team. Just the ghost of Russell Wilson. I just couldn't care less about the Pete Carroll like running the ball. The defense is terrible. The Seahawks don't, like, other than DK Metcalf, who just don't, I don't think will be very interesting to watch with Geno Smith. There's nothing intriguing to me about the Seattle Seahawks. I cannot imagine wanting to watch them for really any reason this year.
I'm fuming underneath. This is a, no,
why, you
no,
love Geno
you're wrong
Smith?
Again.
It's a bit.
It's not just Geno Smith. It's not just Geno Smith. It's DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Those are exciting players. I don't know how you could just brush them aside.
Yeah, when they
Rashad
have the ball,
Penny
but they're
is,
not gonna
a,
have the
is
ball.
A fun player. They're going to have the ball. They're going to do the Rams offense. The Rams pass a lot. I disagree with everything. And then the defense is taking like a interesting steps towards evolving. Like Pete Carroll promoted Clint Hurd. He hired a couple of
Sean
assistants.
Desai, Carl Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to do fun things on defense. I totally disagree.
Yeah.
So why am I wrong?
Here's my thing with the Seahawks. Cause I had the Seahawks ranked like decently highly in terms of like teams I would draft low in watchability, because what they are is like, unlike the Texans and the Commanders who are at like the end of train wrecks, the Seahawks are maybe at the beginning of a train wreck, which is more interesting, right? Like if the Seahawks are going to be like total chaos, like we're handing it to Rashad Penny 30 times a game. Geno Smith can't complete a pass on third down. We're trying to run too high stuff and Jamal Adams can't cover anybody. Like that will be at least watchable for the first few weeks where it's like, okay, this is like a banana. This is absurd. This is disgusting. Like it's the beginning of the train wreck. So there's still a newness to it. I also do think that there's a chance that like the Seahawks are generally fine because like, I don't trust Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio. I don't trust Matt Rhule, Phil Snow. I don't trust Lovie Smith and Tim Kelly, who's a Texans offensive coordinator. But in terms of like Pete Carroll, oh, Pep. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I kind of trust Pep a little bit. But in terms of like Pete Carroll in Seattle, I trust them to keep games competitive, which is the nut graph, the core of the Seahawks as a decently watchable team argument boils down to, as all things Seattle do, the Kevin Clark tweet. The Seahawks don't play normal games. They really don't. And so like, yes, the Seahawks on paper are as bad like roster-wise as a lot of these teams and like probably aren't watchable. But I do absolutely think that at some point in week 11 at 7:15 p.m., I'm going to be watching a overtime game 13-13 Cardinals Seahawks and be like, this is living, baby. Like the fact that they have got into this game is fun. I have faith in Seattle to retain their identity from the Russell Wilson era of just being in weird games, and being in weird games is watchable.
I'm not going to make the argument that Geno Smith is a good quarterback, but he's a fun quarterback.
You have made that argument, and you would also like to make that argument.
But I think of the Seahawks as 80% of why I would watch is probably to watch Russell Wilson throw to DK Metcalf. And I've never once thought of Geno Smith as a fun quarterback. I'm curious what you mean by that.
He throws the ball downfield. He's not afraid. He plays.
Yeah, West Virginia was beating up Clemson in like the Orange Bowl.
See, you're not grinding enough preseason tape. That's the problem.
So you think that you think the Seahawks offense is still going to be like a downfield attacking in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
It's going to be play action and they're going to throw downfield.
All right. Well, now you have two picks in a row. So now you can take the teams that I should have taken.
Okay. The Giants. The Giants, of course.
Yeah, the Giants.
Do I need to explain this? Like even like the most exciting player on paper, is it still Saquon Barkley? I don't know if his career hasn't gone the way that we thought. We're going to watch him average 3 yards a carry and get 200 carries. No, no one wants to watch that. No one wants to watch Daniel Jones. I don't think the defense is as interesting as it could have been if they kept James Bradbury. So I've kind of lost interest there. And I don't know. There's nothing that compels me to watch this team. Maybe Kadarius Toney, but is he going to play?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Wait.
So why
isn't Kadarius Toney playing?
He's just always hurt. The way I look at it, he had twice as many injury designations as starts last year. Like how many times? Like he's 23 years old. He's getting rest days. Like he's a 32-year-old veteran, and now he's a hamstring injury. It's just basically had like 9 different injury designations. Like
it's like a Paris Campbell situation. Like in theory, he's an NFL player, but
yeah, right.
I think you're right because the reality is even Daniel Jones, now that he's not turning the ball over so egregiously, he's not even interesting in he's not even bad in like an interesting way. He's just kind of like there.
Yeah. He like improved a little too much in that regard, where now he's just like Andy Dalton and no one wants to watch Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. I have no comeback. Who's your other team?
The Titans. I mean, this is more of a testament to like the watchability of the NFL this year. Like there's depth to how many watchable teams there are. And the Titans, I'm just picking them because their wide receiver situation is very sad. And there's a chance that the wheels fall off with Derrick Henry. And then if it's Ryan Tannehill against the world, the world's going to win in like 5 seconds.
The Titans are a low-key good sleeper pick. The Titans are on my list because like they've won a lot of games, and it's a testament to them that they won these games. They were winning close games, they were winning turnover battles, but they were winning very ugly football games. Like, as a man who was very closely watching the Titans last year, trying to understand how they were the number one seed in the AFC, I'm here to tell you, it was not really fun to watch the Titans like run Dontrell Hilliard on 2nd and 8 to get to 3rd and 6 to then like throw a contested glance to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina for 7 yards to then just do it all over again. Like, it was very laborious football. It was winning football, and Titans fans aren't allowed to get mad at me, but it was hard to watch at times.
Well, even Derrick Henry, like, no one wants to say this, but the reality is Derrick Henry's not making a ton of people miss. Like, it's not like Barry Sanders or other players where it's like even a 2-yard run can be really fun.
That's a good point, actually.
If Derrick Henry, the games he gets 30 carries in a game, 20 of them are pretty freaking boring. 2 of them, he'll have a cool stiff arm, and then he'll just have like 3 or 4 different runs of like 20, 40, 97 yards. But the other 20 carries are actually really boring. Right. And when you're watching the Titans, even Titans fans probably know this deep down, it's like the majority of Titans games, even the best player on their team, isn't actually fun to watch. The little 2-minute condensed YouTube version of a Titans game is all you need. The highlights.
Right. They're a war of attrition team. And while that is a respectful way to win football games, it does not play on television the way that perhaps you would hope.
Very boring.
Yes. And bad uniforms. We haven't talked about uniforms nearly enough.
You're the
bad
only uniforms. One who talks about uniforms in these conversations.
What is with you and Riley McAtee on uniforms?
People love uniforms. What are you guys talking about?
Okay, so you don't like the Titans uniforms?
No, they're awful.
I love having an opinion about a uniform at like 4 p.m. on a Tuesday in May. Like when we can all come together as a football Twitter community and point to the Falcons gradient and be like, idiots! Dumb, very bad. That's a good day. I'm having a great time. Me and my friends just yelling at the Falcons. It's awesome. And once we actually get like teams on the field, usually I'm like, all right, those uniforms are dumb. Now let's move on.
Like, what do you guys think is like your favorite uniform? If you were in charge, like for me, it's the Saints all black with the gold helmets.
No. The Saints all whites.
Yeah, the Saints all whites.
Yes.
You like the Saints all white uniforms over the Saints all white uniforms?
The all white uniforms are clean.
What is a better combo than black and gold and color scheme?
But there is black and gold on like a white canvas. And it's very nice.
It's very good. Uniforms matter. Like, you don't, like, if there's like a sad Browns game, the game's just a little more sad because the Browns colors. And I think it matters. It matters.
There was a game
2 years ago where the Falcons wore those gradient uniforms and they played the Lions, who were wearing their all gray color rush uniforms. And it was the ugliest game in NFL history.
Right, and that game was, I remember that game. That game was a close, tight game to the end. And even like while you're watching it, you're like, man, this is not pretty. I will give you that game.
All right. It's like a bad optical illusion. Okay, so whose turn is it? So it's my turn again?
Yeah.
I have to say, I think there's a teardrop here because I got to tell you, because this is the 8th pick. Actually think at this point, we're officially like these teams are kind of watchable now. So I'm going to say this, but it's not really a dig. I'm going to take the Jets. And I have to say, like, the Jets are still, like, relatively watchable. Like, they have, like, good, like, receivers are pretty solid. Like, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore are fun. Breece Hall and Michael Carter, good running backs. It's just like, man, if Zach Wilson's out, Joe Flacco's the quarterback. I'm like, man, I don't care about watching the Joe Flacco leading the freaking Jets. I can't do it. Now, admittedly, they're more watchable than, like, this exercise. But, dude, I just have no interest in Joe. Although, week 1, I guess he's against the Ravens, which is kind of fun. But that's it.
Is it? Like, who cares? Like, Joe Flacco is a guy that doesn't say anything and tries to stay away from the spotlight as much as possible. I don't even think it's going to matter. Another thing with the Jets is their uniforms also don't work well because they're all green and they're on on grass. So it looks bad during day games.
Well, weren't they green and white originally? Was it because of the Hess family on the team at one point, or did they actually predate?
I don't know Jets lore.
You're the New Yorker here, baby. I do not know the answer to this question.
I actually think that's a good point. Maybe they should change their field like Boise State. Just do like a different color.
Do the Eastern Washington bright red field, baby. That's if you want your watch some film and have your eyes hurt. That Cooper Kupp film, horrible.
But word out of camp
that's
is
why
Joe
fell in the draft.
Joe Flacco's lighting it up.
Yeah, baby. Flacco resurgence.
It's kind of funny because Flacco low-key outplayed Sam Darnold too. So if he outplays Zach Wilson, it's like it's become a tradition of Joe Flacco just revealing to the Jets that their young quarterback isn't who they thought he was.
I was just like, can you imagine being a Jets fan? I mean, sorry if Sean Fennis is listening. Can you imagine being a Jets fan? And now, yeah, you're right. Twice now, the quarterback you've taken with a top three pick in the draft got hurt, replaced by Joe Flacco. And everyone's like, yeah, I mean, hell, maybe it probably makes him better.
Are we talking about when the Jets drafted like a young project quarterback with a great arm and bad feet who was inconsistent in college and then did it again? Are we talking about that sequence?
And can't create explosive plays out of structure.
So you're basically saying Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold again. You know what's funny? Don't spoil on the odds, but I'm watching this new season of MasterChef where it's like all the previous people who like lost at other seasons of MasterChef are brought back, and it's like the mega MasterChef where they all get a second chance to play to do the season, right? And the first thing they had to do was make the dish that you got eliminated for last time.
That sucks.
Which is really, yeah. But here's the thing. One of these guys made it to the final of season six, Steven. Ironically, his name's Steven. And he made it to the final of season six. He had to make a panna cotta, and it was too liquidy. And it comes back. Guess what happens? Panna cotta's too liquidy again. You can't make the same mistake again when you get a second chance. And that's the thing. They got the Sam Darnold thing. They get to do it again. And it's like, oh my God, you just took the same guy.
Yes.
That's tough.
I cannot emphasize enough how much I'm the Yes Chad meme right now. Where when they took Wilson, it was like, wow, I wonder if the exact same thing is going to happen in New York as happened 4 years ago. And lo and behold, here we are.
History rhymes. With that said, Salk, you get the last pick here. So who's your last pick?
You said there was a teardrop. There was one team that I had still like ranked among my like decently unwatchable teams. And you said, sorry, Sean Fennessy, if you're listening. I'll say, sorry, Bill Simmons, if you're listening. The New England Patriots are not.
Yes.
I don't enjoy watching the team. I love watching the four games of the year where like Belichick's defense has like a shockingly good performance against like the Ravens and the Bills. Like, you know, like watching like, you know, the way they played like the Chargers last year was really cool. And the way they played the Bills in the freezing Bucks game was like interesting. You know what I'm saying? There's one-offs where on the all 22, when I'm like football nerding out, I'm loving it. But on like a Sunday when I would like to be entertained, and we just got, you know, Mac throwing crossers to Jacoby Myers.
They genuinely have no interesting players to watch. You could even argue to me that the Texans, like, went first in this draft. Damian Pierce, at least the running back's probably interesting. And then Brandon Cooks is like the least boring. But Brandon Cooks is better than any receiver the Patriots have. I mean,
yes. I mean, how many times can you remember? Like, there are several times in my head I can remember where, like, it's an NFL Sunday. I'm watching the games I wanted to watch. And then all of a sudden, it's like, the Patriots are up on the Browns, right? Like, they kill the Browns. They're up on the Browns, like 21-7. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I never, ever think of putting the game on. So I don't really care what that looks like. Yeah, like, if, you know, Jacoby Myers throws a reverse touchdown to Nelson Aguilar, I'll see it on, there'll be a clip on Twitter. Like, that'd be the only reason I would really tune in, is be like, that's a cool play. And other than that, it's like, all right, they're going to run some good schemes and win some third downs with tight man coverage. It's going to force an incompletion. Good special teams. It's just not, like, I have so much respect for Bill Belichick and the way the Patriots win games, but it's like the Titans argument a little bit. But to me, there's not, like, if I'm like, here, let's watch them. No, I'm not. I'll watch the Patriots on Tuesday.
I would pay any amount of money to see Bill Belichick react to what Solak just said. He'd be so disappointed in you.
Would you pay more than you would pay to not go to a Washington Commanders?
Yes,
game?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, but let's put them up against a team like the Falcons, for example, where like the Falcons.
That was the other team I had. Yeah, yes.
Right. The Falcons aren't going to be good. The Falcons are going to have very embarrassing games. The Falcons have a bad defense. They're going to lose. However, I'm going to watch. I got Marcus Mariota, who's like fun to root for, cool dude, throwing at Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Like that 100%. In and of itself just. It's above Mac throwing to Devontae Parker. I'm sorry.
Okay, here's a team that we haven't named yet that I think is way overrated in terms of watchability because it's kind of become a meme. And that's the Lions. I'm sorry, the Lions are not watchable. Let's stop pretending they're watchable. Just because Dan Campbell says funny things in press conferences and they're good on Hard Knocks, it's not going to translate to actual games.
I kind of agree. But the problem is, like, I was at Lions camp and I'm doing like a big piece on their defense. And so I'm actually like very interested to see what the defense looks like. So I'm biased on that one. But I also was like, oh, I can't put the Lions. Lions are fun. And I thought, I was like, wait a minute. They're fun, but also bad.
I actually, while we're talking about overrated teams that like we're probably pretending are more watchable than they are, the other team I had, the Colts. Are the Colts actually watchable? Matt Ryan's the most boring person in the entire NFL. Michael Pittman is like the most boring good receiver. Do you actually want to watch the Colts, or do you just think you should because they're probably going to win the division?
I think it, yeah, I think it's kind of a combination, but I think they're going to be good enough. And then Jonathan Taylor's fun. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I think they're going to be in good games. I'm going to want to watch the good games. I think they're going to be in good games because they're a good football team and they have enough quality players and they're competitive and they're well coached. And also, like, Frank Reich tends to lose leads anyway. So it's going to be a good fourth quarter. So I think they're going to be like games I want to watch. Are the Colts in a vacuum? Like, woo! No. Right? It's like, yeah, no. You know, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Matt Ryan, right? It's going to be a very like precise, detailed West Coast passing offense, which, like, when it's not like Peyton screaming Omaha 12 times and changing the play, like, you know, at the line of scrimmage and then Marvin Harrison running for 90 yards, like, that's not as fun. You know what I mean?
Okay. So yeah. Those, that's our draft. So I have the Bears, I have the Seahawks, and I have the Jets. Steven, you got the Texans. And then you got, who did you take? You have the Texans and who?
The Titans and the Giants. And I won this one.
Who are your team select?
I have Washington, Carolina, New England, and I also won this one, fascinatingly enough.
Well, the problem is once we're never going to watch these games, so we'll actually never find out.
Once I got Steven to admit he watched 3 Panthers games last year, ball game.
Yeah, that was a pretty good point. I'm not going to lie, Steven, you rocked you on that one. Okay.
How many Texans games I watched?
Too many. Those are the least watchable teams of 2022. Thank you to them for listening. Bill, don't fire us, but we're right about the Patriots. Get over it. This is the Ringer NFL show. Thank you to them for listening. See you guys tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.